Welcome. I'm Julie Bacon, and you're listening to the Mindset Coaching for Handlers podcast, a podcast for dog handlers who are on a mission to achieve big goals. Here I share lessons, insights, personal stories, and tools you can apply during your next show, trial, or test to help you strengthen your mental game and hopefully cue more consistently. Be sure to check out the show notes where you'll find details about the episodes, plus important links, including the link to the Dogged Planner and Workbook created just for handlers on a mission. So if you're ready to improve your competitive mindset, get out of your own way, and connect with your dog like never before, then it's time to get comfy, bring an open mind, and work your mindset. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Okay, this week we have a lesson pulled from the Q membership. This was one that I shared in the February membership where we were mastering different skills each week. And I just thought it was so good that I needed to share with everyone. Hey everyone, welcome back to week three of us mastering certain skills that will help us with our mindset and just make us better handlers and might make us happier people, which is my segue to this third lesson of self-talk. Okay. So we're talking about things this month that we need to master. In other words, not just these like lessons that we need to learn and we're like, yeah. But I mean, like things we really need to get good at. We really need to get good at goals. We really need to be good at resilience, at figuring out how to bounce forward and to come back from, you know, disappointment, a bad run, a bad day, a bad weekend, right? And so we're adding on to that with self-talk. I mean, self-talk is the beginning, right, of all of it, because it is where we develop these limiting beliefs. It is where we are just so cruel to ourselves and talk ourselves out of success before we even try. So we really need to get good at it. And the thing is the good news is, like, I don't want to start and overwhelm you, so I'm going to say this, which is the good news is we don't need to banish every negative thought. We just need to realize that we're doing it so that we can replace it with a better thought, okay? Because you're always going to have bad thoughts, or at least that's been my experience. You're always going to have those things sneak in. And so what we want to do is just get really fast about recognizing when they sneak in and not allowing them to just roll on down the snow-covered hill into a giant snowball that takes over the town beneath it, right? So that's really our goal with it. And it's even not, we're going to talk about interrupting at another time, but I think that all it really is awareness, right? Developing that awareness and realizing that, and kind of saying almost out loud to yourself that, like, I don't have to allow this. Like, I'm not here for this. I'm not here for this kind of talking to myself. I would never let someone else talk to me this way. So I would never talk to someone else this way. So why am I allowing it in my head? Okay. And the reason it's important, because what we believe let me start it this way. What we think, like the thoughts that we have, when we repeat them over and over again, because research shows that we really only have one thought for, like, I don't know, it's about 17 seconds. And so that means when we are thinking about something for a half an hour, we are stringing together a whole bunch of 17 seconds, okay? Meaning we're rehaving the thought and having it again and having it again and having it again. And so when we do that, when we have thoughts that we put on repeat in our brains, then we develop beliefs around them, okay? And maybe they're things that we learn, okay? But it's still a thought. And those thoughts can turn into beliefs. When those thoughts are negative, those can become limiting beliefs in that they limit what it is that we do. We might make different choices. We might not go to certain trials or enter certain things or, you know, try new skills or try a skill that we've practiced at home, but we're afraid to try it in the ring for competition. So limiting beliefs are limiting our experience and potentially our growth. So we want to, you know, obviously nix that. So our thoughts become our beliefs and our beliefs become our actions. So like I said, if it's a limiting belief, then we might literally stop doing some things. If it's a positive belief, because this works in the other way, you know, if we have positive thoughts and then positive beliefs, and then we would take positive actions. We would go enter that trial because you've done well there the last few times, or it feels like home, or it feels really comfortable. You feel your nerves are really under control at that venue. So you enter that again. That's a positive version of that. And of course, then after actions that we take, then our results follow, right? Because we're in a certain mindset, or a frame of mind, or flow, or vibe, or whatever it is, like we like the energy of a place, whatever that is, it all colors, it all adds up, and it leads to our results. All right, but it all starts with our thoughts. So it goes thoughts, beliefs, actions, results. Okay, and those results can lead back in. I mean, this is not linear. This is more circular. And, you know, you might have a result that says to your thoughts that, I knew that would happen. Positive or negative. Like, I knew I loved this place, or I knew we weren't going to queue here. Okay. We can be dramatic all day long on both sides of the equation, right? Or the continuum, I should say. So what we need to realize about self-talk is that, and this is hard to explain, but like, we are not our minds, okay? Because we can hear ourselves talking about ourselves. Isn't that kind of like this weird phenomenon, right? That we can hear these thoughts going on in our heads, but we know they're not really us. But who are they if they're not? I mean, existential questions for sure for another day, a deeper conversation, you know, maybe plant-based medicinal dosing or alcohol or whatever, none of the above. But those existential things and the concept of like, we can hear our thoughts, we can kind of stand separately from our thoughts, I think can be used for our advantage, right? Because we realize that, well, we're not our thoughts. They're literally just thoughts that we're having, which means that we can change them, which is great, which is powerful, which puts us back in control, which means we are not at the mercy of those thoughts. One of the things I like to say about thoughts is if you think about them like billboards that you're driving by on the expressway, you know, going 70 in the fast lane, and you see a billboard, the thoughts can be just that. And as a matter of fact, when we think about meditation, we think about letting our thoughts just be these billboards that we have them, and then we go by them, and we let them go. We have them, we just let them go by, we let them go. So they're things that we notice, you know, our thoughts are things that we notice, but they don't have to be things that get our attention or deserve our attention or deserve our time or deserve us thinking about them again and again and again by the time 17 seconds becomes a half an hour or 2 days or a lifetime of having a limiting belief, right? So when we think about thoughts, if we think that every thought is just a billboard, then we get to decide, am I slamming on the brakes to really read this billboard and really give it my full attention and energy, or am I letting that thought just go on by? So that can be a good visual for some people. Some people think of them as clouds that are floating by, right? You don't have to hang on to every thought. But the trick is realizing that you are having the thought, and the thought is kind of separate from you, that you are not your thought. I know it's deep, it's weird, but it's true. Like if you think of all the thoughts that you're having, someone's having those thoughts, right? It's kind of wild, but anyway, something for scholars or philosophers or people who are into existential things. But anyhow, it's important just to have that much of the notion, because it means that we can put ourselves back in control, okay? Another analogy I use a lot is this idea or this concept of having a committee, right, in your head, because you have lots of thoughts in the day. Some of them are positive, some of them are negative, some of them are coming from somewhere else, right? Like I learned very late in life, I think I was at least 50, when I realized that the thought in my head that says, ooh, you better not, something might go wrong, is coming from my mother. Okay. Not to throw dear mom under the bus. But that wasn't my thought. Like, I learned that. I learned that from her. Those are her fears. And so sometimes when I'm having those thoughts, I realize that someone at that committee, that at my table in my brain, one of those thoughts is her fear. You know, when I'm having more resilient thoughts, that's my dad. He was a genius at bouncing back and hanging on and toughing it out and all that good stuff. That's him. And so sometimes we can credit these thoughts to a person or a place or a moment in our lives where something happened. And sometimes we don't know where they come from, right? And sometimes we have a cheerleader in our heads, or we have someone who doubts us, or maybe it's an old instructor or an old teacher or something. And it's not that important that you sit and stare out the window until you can figure out what the origin story is to everyone in your head. What's important to realize is, again, they're not your thoughts. They're these other things that are telling you that you can or that you can't, or that you shouldn't, or that you should, or that you should be afraid, or that you should be brave, or what have you. And so the reason I like that analogy is I like to think about it as being able to promote or demote some of those different voices. In other words, the ones that are cheering me on, the cheerleaders that says, it's all going to work out, or you can do this, or, you know, you have evidence that you've done this before, you can do it again. I want those people near the front of the room, right? I want them to talk more. I want them to speak up. Whereas the people who are like, I don't know, I'm kind of afraid, what if it goes wrong? Those people can go to the back. Okay. Elizabeth Gilbert, the author who was first famous for Eat, Pray, Love, does this great book called Big Magic. And if you haven't read it, I strongly recommend reading it, listening to it as we drive around. I love it. And one of the things she talks about it, and I think she's talking about it in the book as if she's talking with another person who gives her this analogy as well. So it might, I don't know, might not even be hers, but I credit it to her because she wrote it down in her book, Big Magic. And that is this idea that she's talking about fear and how fear is ever present. And it's in the car driving down the road with you, but it doesn't get to drive and it doesn't get to change the radio station. And so with my other thoughts, right, that aren't helpful thoughts, that aren't pushing me forward, that aren't being helpful to the moment, I think of that Elizabeth Gilbert conversation and this idea that, like, okay, I hear you, fear, doubt, uncertainty, negativity, you negative Nelly, you, I hear negative Nelly, but I'm not going to make a decision or make a choice or make my next move based on what it is that you think, right? You don't get to drive. You're not in charge of the radio station or the music we listen to. So I hear you. I take it under advisement, but I'm moving forward. Okay, so that's another way to think about the self-talk, right? The voices in our head, the things that we say to ourselves. And each of these ideas, whichever one is resonating for you, what we're building is a little bit of space. We're building a little bit of a space, a little bit of a gap between us and our thoughts so that we can look at them and we can see them for what they are. We can see that doubt or those ring nerves as just fear, you know, fear of failure perhaps, or maybe it's fear of success in another world. Or maybe we look at those thoughts and we see them as cheerleaders and we're like, yes, you, I like you. I like your energy. I need more of that, right? So when we get that separation, we get a little more control. We realize that we are not our thoughts and we have a choice of what we say to each other. And at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want to choose the thoughts that move us forward, that are supportive, that, yeah, sure, maybe push us, maybe say like, ooh, this new place that I'm going, this is scary. I've never done this before. And just because you haven't done it before, and maybe it is a little scary, doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means it's out of your comfort zone. So again, we're putting real perspective to some of this input that we're giving ourselves all the time. And then finally, another way to check yourself is to say, would I say these things to someone else, my best friend, You know, a lot of the things I've said to myself, I wouldn't say out loud to my enemy. Not that I have them. But I'm just saying, just like to someone I don't like, I wouldn't say it to a bad, well, I might say it to a bad driver on the highway, but I wouldn't say it, you know, to some stranger, right? In a grocery store. Like, I wouldn't say these things. And yet I say them to myself. And what do we think we do with that, right? Those thoughts become those beliefs. And then suddenly we have that belief about ourselves that we're, you know, too fat, too slow, too, you know, stupid, too whatever. And then all of a sudden we're in our own way, or we're making decisions based on what became limiting beliefs out of those things that we kept saying to ourselves on repeat. So not helpful, right? Not helpful. So not to, you know, to stand in the, at the mirror and be able to say, look at that person and say nice things. You know, it's a very uncomfortable exercise for most people to look in the mirror every morning and say like, hey, I love you, or high five. You know, that's the Mel Robbins sort of, give yourself a high five every morning. And it feels awkward as F, right? It just feels so crazy awkward. But when you do it, you kind of can't help but smile, and you're like, yeah, I can get behind that person in the mirror. I can say nice. Yes, you do look good today. Or, you know, yes, we are going to go get them today. Or, you know, assume that power pose in the bathroom and say like, yes, we can do this today. I got you. Like, I'm with you. I've got you, to say something positive. And for a lot of reasons, backed by research, we are more likely to say and believe something negative to ourselves than we are something positive. And it's just sad, right? I mean, it is so awkward to look at that person in the mirror and say, I love you, to yourself, versus look at that person in the mirror and be like, well, those bangs are looking tragic today, right? You know, better put a hat on. You look terrible, you know? Oh my God, right? And yet, which one is more believable? Which one do we say more often, right? I've had a lot of bad bang days, you know? And so these are the things we need to do. We need to get better at recognizing it and replacing it. So when we're having those thoughts, we don't have to follow them, right? They can just be a billboard we pass on the road. They don't have to be something that we're like, ooh, yeah, I want to follow that thought and see where it takes me. I want to ride that thought out for the next hour and a half, right? We don't have to do that. And yet, so many times when we're not kind of consciously taking control of our thoughts, we do. So we start to believe the negative things. We start to believe that we're not good at this, not good at that, that we can never learn this, never learn that, which are very fixed thoughts, right? It's not so very growth mindset of us, right? When we believe that, you know, oh, I'm always terrible at front crosses, or I can never get the footwork on the figure eight. I just can't do it. And we say it enough, we'll believe it, right? And it will become a limiting belief. We will make choices and decisions based on that. And those choices and decisions will then limit our experiences and make our world smaller. And that's not fun. We don't need to be doing that. So our homework, our thoughts today is to, or this week, I should say, and really this month, because we're trying to master this, is to just become aware. Become aware of all the negative things you say to yourself. And that's step one, first of all, because you'll realize, you know, just even after a day of doing this, all the terrible things you say to yourself, even if you like drop your keys and you're like, well, that was dumb. Okay, that doesn't need to be said. Who cares? You dropped your keys. It has no meaning whatsoever. It has no reflection on who you are as a person because you dropped your keys, or I don't know, you dropped something else and broke it. Like, does it mean you're a bad person? No, you just dropped something. Okay. So we also, along with this, have to interrupt giving those little things in our day that happen, giving them so much meaning, right? Why do we have to give meaning to like dropping something, right? Right? Why, if I drop something, even if I break something, why do I have to be, oh, you're so dumb? Actually, I don't even remember anyone ever saying to me that I was dumb because I dropped something, right? So where does that come from? And yet we do it. We're constantly belittling ourselves. So step one, go a day, then 2 days, then 3 days, realizing and recognizing what it is that you are saying to yourself and catching all of those times that you're saying something negative. And then the second step is just stop. Okay, just stop. Now, stopping is hard, right? We know this from our puppies. We can't just say, stop chewing on that. We actually replace what they're chewing on with something more appropriate. Okay. So the ideal situation then is move to the third step, which is give yourself a better thought. Just give yourself a better thought. And the good news is it doesn't even have to be related. So let's say I drop my keys. I call myself dumb. I say to myself, well, that's not necessary. And now I just think of something happy like, oh, you know what? My dogs are so photogenic. I love my dogs. Okay. It has nothing to do with keys. Okay. It has nothing to do with being dumb or smart or anything. It just is a better, happier thought. So if you can replace your thought with something more direct, like, oh, I dropped my keys. I'm so dumb. And you can replace that with, I just dropped my keys. It has nothing to do with how smart I am. Or, you know, big deal. I dropped my keys. So what? It means nothing. Ideal. Okay. But if you can't get there yet, then replace it just with a happier thought, any kind of happier thought. All right. That's where to start. So I'm going to stop talking there. I think that that is enough for you to work on. I think you will be shocked, not in a good way, of how many terrible things you say to yourself. And even like on the continuum, okay, maybe this wasn't so terrible, but it also wasn't nice. Things that you say to yourself during a day. And that's where we're going to start. We're going to start with awareness. And then we're going to move, if you're getting there and you're already there, then start to move toward, you know, stop having that thought, let it go by you, you know, just let it go on the highway of your life or the clouds of your life. Just let it go by. And then finally, that's the second step. And then finally, the third step is to actually replace it with a more positive thought. Okay. Get more energy, not just out into the world, but out into your head, your own head, and realize that you have more control than you think you do over the thoughts that you think. And realizing that your thoughts are so powerful because they are becoming your beliefs, your actions, and the results you see in the world. Okay. So let's start with that first domino and let's get a little better about our self-talk and owning our thoughts and getting it back in control. Thanks so much for listening to the Mindset Coaching for Handlers podcast with me, Julie Bacon. I am so grateful for your precious time. Check out my Dogged Planner workbook and journal available on Amazon. Just search for Dogged Planner. I also offer monthly membership that's perfect for ongoing support of your awesome goals. Check out theqcoach.com for details or just stop by and check out all the ways you can work on your mindset. And be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at theqcoach and let me know how it's going. Finally, please share, subscribe, and leave a review. This helps us podcasters tremendously. Plus, I know I get my best podcast recommendations from friends. Thanks and have a great week with your dogs.